Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. A new week of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We're glad you're with us. Hope you had a great Easter weekend, and we're ready to go here on a Monday from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg and Laurel. Bob, Kelly, and Luke, glad you're with us. Opening segment of the show sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Great place to take your family for dinner, and of course, a great place to cater your next event. All right, great week for Southern Miss baseball. Golden Eagles go 3-1. Good wins over really two good teams, Tulane, and taking 2 out of 3 against Troy. Coach Christian Ostrander joins us each and every Monday. And Coach, I hope you and your family had a good, restful Easter weekend. You deserved a Sunday off.
No, it did. It felt great, to have that time with the family and of course, celebrate, our salvation too with the family at church, for sure.
No question. Well, Coach, let's get right to baseball. We'll go back briefly to Tuesday night. I thought a really good-looking Tulane baseball team in there, but your guys come up with 14 big hits, and you get you a nice midweek 9-4 win over Tulane.
Yeah, that was, I thought that was a great game. Great bounce back, after a very disappointing weekend last weekend. I thought our guys played with a lot of energy, a lot of sense of urgency, and just very kind of matter of fact. And I thought all areas were really good, and against a good team. I thought Tulane brought a good club in here, and we had to earn it. So it was a good night.
Yeah, I keep waiting for us to play an easy team, but I can't find one yet, Coach. And I looked at Southeast Louisiana, 18-10, but I won't get ahead of myself. All right, so Troy comes in, and we play Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, of course. And the Thursday night was one of those nights, Coach Oz, and I don't know if you ever have the opportunity to do this. I know you're locked in on the game, but as a fan, there are just times you can sit back late in the afternoon and look across that field, and P. Taylor Park is about as beautiful a place as you could be. Do you ever get a chance to enjoy that anymore, Coach?
No, I really don't. I'm so I know it's beautiful. Don't get me wrong, and I know it's special, and I know I'm blessed to be, coaching here and just everything about it, but no, that's one thing, and I'll look back in my career, whenever it's said and done, I'll never let myself enjoy too many moments because it's always about the next.
Right. All right, so Thursday night you had to enjoy 20 hits and 10 running, Troy.
Oh, well, I did enjoy that. Now, that was a lot of fun. So, very proud of our offense that night. They were just very, very relentless, I guess, from the first pitch on, and just really got momentum, and it just carried over, and that was fun. I was very, very encouraged and proud of those guys.
So between the Tulane game and the opening Troy game, 34 hits in two games, and you win a lot of ball games, obviously, when you're hitting like that. Now the game Saturday, we lose that 9-8, but boy, what a competitive game! And I think, is it fair to say, short of a couple of mistakes defensively on our part, very likely win that game as well.
I feel that way. We talked about it, and we just didn't do enough little things well. And the little things of playing baseball, playing clean, and, finishing a double play, executing the first and third play, which we did. We just didn't hold on to the ball. And, a foolish balk, late in the game and so forth. So, just a few little things. If we played a little cleaner, there might have been two or three runs that didn't cross the plate, and you look up, you win that game. So, but that's baseball. I mean, you gotta do it.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think you just nailed it. Two or three runs, probably, from mistakes that we made. The game Saturday, really another. I just want to say, I thought the whole weekend was really exciting college baseball. You told me Troy had 7 seniors on their team, so that's an experienced ball club, and you're in quite a battle with them on Saturday. You win at 5-3, and as I mentioned to you going before we went on the air, I thought in the eighth inning the the great catch that Dalton McIntyre makes on that line drive that appeared to be over his head with two Troy runners on base. That may have been the turning point of the game. Is that fair to say?
Well, definitely kept them from tying the game or whatever. I mean, just that whole eighth inning, just, you know, JB just didn't get it done. He had a bad day. It happens. Move on. Bases loaded, nobody out, and then McCarty coming in there and, you know, managing to get a pop-up, shallow center. We throw it to the cutoff man, catch a guy too far off the bag. I mean, that was crazy. I mean, you know, and then the next guy hits that ball, you know, well to center that Dalton McIntyre makes an incredible play on. And that was the swing. That was, you know, that felt like that was their shot.
Right, and you're right. And I should have pointed out that double play was really big. Bases loaded, no outs, you get a double play. That's a really big deal. 51 hits in your last four games, Coach. You got to like the way your kids are swinging the bat.
Absolutely. You know, it's a game of, you know, I guess momentum. I say that a lot, I know, but it really is, and confidence, and just, you know, and it carrying over, taking it over to the next one. So hopefully it all becomes contagious, because hitting's contagious, and sometimes not hitting's contagious. And, you know, so we just need to keep plugging and keep going up there and really not focus on the result, but you know, just really the process of going and having good ABs and getting good swings off. And I thought our guys have been doing that.
Yeah, two players I want to mention before I throw the guys in here. It appears to me that Nick Monastery really swinging the bat a lot better, seems to be coming out of his batting slump. And I don't know how you can talk about this weekend without talking about Carson Pato and not only his bat, but some of the great, great plays that young man makes in right field.
No doubt. No, Carson's, you know, he's kind of a catalyst, just like McIntyre or whatever. I mean, it's, you know, but Carson's defense this weekend was on display for sure. And an unfortunate, you know, cleat, whatever, roll ankle, whatever you want to call it, happened Saturday night, or Friday night, rather,
right.
that ball getting by him, which, you know, those things are, you know, out of your control and so forth. But, man, I can just think of so many plays he made, whether it's with the glove or with the arm, throwing the runner out at third. You know, he's just done a great job. So, you know, it's we wouldn't be where we are without him.
Two observations I had, because I watched the last two games on TV with my children in Birmingham. Carson Pato's always got a big smile on his face. And I saw Danny Lynch a lot in the dugout, and it doesn't appear that he has stopped talking, Coach.
No, he hasn't. You're spot on with those two observations. Carson's always smiling. Danny's always talking.
100%. Danny's always talking. Go ahead, Kelly.
Coach, I just want to see now we're getting kind of obviously into the meat of the season now. How are we doing physically?
Injury-wise,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're getting better, I think, in one area. And you know, got a couple pitchers that should be back that we can see some action. And, you know, and hopefully Nolan Tucker – is ready to go. We think he is, and hopefully that means, you know, he'll be available here, you know, at some point this week as needed.
And I want to talk about the versatility of some of the players, and let's just use Monastery as an example. You know, you hear people say all the time, man, the guy can play anywhere. You know, on a mindset of a guy that can play anywhere, how would you describe it being any different than a player who is, you know, your whatever position player, and that's the only position they play? Any difference in a mindset of a multi-position defensive player?
Well, I don't know. I'd have to ask them, because I wasn't one.
Yeah.
I would think that, you know, the multi-positional guy would probably, you know, I think the mindset might need to be a little stronger, to be honest with you,
yeah.
The fact of being prepared to do this, that, or whatever. And, you know, but I don't know. That's a great question, you know, and I think, you know, there would probably be some players that would have a hard time moving around multiple positions, and it would make it more difficult on them. But Nick seems to be okay with whatever we ask.
And one of the things I wanted to ask you, too, was about the mindset of a pitcher. Let's go back to game one where you guys lit up Troy, you know, early and often in that game, to step out there knowing it's no longer a 0-0 game, that your mates have spot you some runs. Should that change the mental approach? We know, I mean, you're human beings, you know it's going to probably, but should it?
No, it shouldn't. I mean, we stress it, and I probably overkill it, you know, and I'm telling them, hey, 0-0 in your mind, 0-0 in your mind, it don't matter, you know, and just – get them to not, you know, if you start focusing on the other than the next pitch, you're in trouble. And regardless of the score, whether you're way up, way down, it's about the next pitch, the next pitch. And, you know, and just keep it real simple. So that's what we try to instill in them and preach to them. And, you know, hopefully they receive that and carry it on.
We're talking to baseball coach Christian Ostrander. That's how we kick off every week, and we really look forward to it. Going to continue our conversation, get Luke involved right on the other side of a short break. But quickly, let me remind you about Mobay Beignet Company, the official beignet store of the Supertalk Eagle Hour, 2902 Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. They cook the beignets when you come in and order them. They got great coffees, cold and hot, all sorts of drinks. I think they have stuff other than coffee. It's just a great place to enjoy a really good dessert. Mobay Beignet Company, 2902 Hardy, back with Coach Oz right after this.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back. Monday edition of the Eagle Hour. Campus Bookmart sponsors this segment of our program every day. Great place to buy all your Southern Miss swag. They're open 7 days a week. If you live out of town, maybe you're one of those Eagle Hour podcast listeners in other parts of the state, you can always go to campusbookmart.net. Great week for the Golden Eagles. They go 3-1 against Tulane and 2 out of 3 against Troy. Luke Johnson's with us. Luke, get in here with Coach Oz.
Coach, let's talk about Will Armistead yesterday. 10 strikeouts. He had it going. 91 pitches. Got you 5 1/3. What was working for him yesterday?
Really all three, you know, but his slider and fastball were really a good combo, mixing the change, and got a few punches on the changeup when he needed it too with those lefties. But man, that fastball was really riding. It was, you know, we were able to use it up in the zone. And it's just, you know, as a hitter and with his arm slot, they see it being kind of in that middle top of the strike zone. Good pitch to swing at, and it keeps running up, man, and they can't catch up to it. So really good day for him. And, you know, but he's been throwing the ball good all year, man. He's, you know, a couple hiccups other than that, but everybody has those.
Can you elaborate just for you know, listeners, average baseball fans that want to learn a little more, how that arm slot, how it creates, you know, the spin and the rise on the fastball as well as the secondary pitches?
Well, most arm slots from that side, you know, more, you know, out to the side, 3 o'clock, whatever, 9 o'clock, you're going to have sink. You're going to get more sinking, you know, arm side action or depth. It's going to be moving down more. Well, his is able to kind of ride. It kind of stays. So the hitter in their mind from that slot and everything is they think it's going to be, you know, something. Their path is going to be geared down a little bit more. And then before you know it, things holding its line and they swing underneath it. And, you know, that's a great quality. And it's just, it's tough to teach, something that he's, you know, he just kind of blessed with, and his brother's kind of the same, to be honest with you. And, but Will does a good job, and he's got three pitches coming out of that tank same slot. So it's deception. I guess that's the best word to put it, is deception.
I appreciate you explaining that. Just the people intrigued, you know, why the ball does what it does out of his hand. All right, let's talk bullpen. I may be wrong on this, but I think this is the first weekend you've used all three lefties. Chandler Best gets the win yesterday. Adams pitches. Of course, Sibley throws on Friday. Like having all three of those left-handed arms available on the weekend?
I do. I do. And you know, we got another one or two maybe, you know, out there that can do it, that should be doing it, that needs to, you know, get that chance, and I need to give that chance to see. But, you know, our bullpen right now, I think we're one or two guys away from somebody stepping up saying, hey, you can count on me to do this, this, or this. And, you know, and really fortifying that thing and giving us a little bit more depth. I think the pieces are there. They just got to go do it. And I got to give them the opportunity to do it. So, you know, I'll take some responsibility for that for sure.
It's always tough filling in shoes of kind of an instant legend. But no, we talk about Ozzie Pratt's bat. Can you talk about him as a shortstop? He does have a little unconventional throwing style. But, man, the ball gets out of his hand quick. And he has he's been playing well at shortstop.
He's been great. I'm telling you, man, as much as, you know, we all got accustomed and loved Dickerson, and we did, and you know, we knew that was going to be a big void, you know, for many areas there. And I don't know if we could have brought in somebody that done better than what Ozzie's done, you know, and of just, you know, making the plays he's supposed to make, being solid, being consistent, contributing offensively, just everything. And, you know, very, very glad he's here.
Coach, you're going to see the Lions now of southeastern Louisiana twice in 2 weeks. You head to Hammond tomorrow. Bobby Barbier comes over from Northwestern State. He had a regional team a couple years ago that went up to Oregon, but now takes the act to southeastern. As Bob mentioned earlier, 18-10. Lions are a pretty good club. What do you expect to see out of them in Hammond tomorrow night?
Yeah, you know, kind of looking through, started the process this morning of, you know, doing my scout reports and watching hitters and all that stuff. And you know, first thing is there's several, you know, guys that's been there a while. You know, you see a little bit of age there, some guys that have been through it, you know, as well as a few new names, too, that we'll have to, you know, watch more of. I mean, you know what? It's the Division I baseball, right? on a midweek day. You better show up. You better play really well. And, you know, I'm sure they feel the same way about us, but we feel the same way about them. And we're going on the road in a great environment. It always is down there in Hammond. And, you know, we got to be prepared for play the best game of our season to this point. And that's our attitude anyway.
And, you know, we don't get to talk to you except for on Mondays on the show. And then you head to South Al. Actually, you guys are going to be putting a lot of miles on the truck after heading to South Al this weekend. Then you got to go over and play the surprise team in the Sun Belt so far at Georgia State. But South Al has kind of, they've kind of found themselves a little bit now, too. But this thing is wide open, isn't it, in the Sun Belt?
Oh, yeah. I mean, heck, we're 3 weeks. We got seven more weekends of this. So,
yeah.
You know, let's talk 7 weekends from now, and you'll get a little bit of direction. But I guarantee you, like it does every year, it's going to come down to that last Sunday. And to you know, solidify a spot or two, it always has.
Coach, after the struggles of last week, and then you lose a heartbreaking game like the one Friday, says a lot about the guys, I think, the way they bounced back and took that series from what I think was a good Troy team. Analyzed for our listeners just how good you think Troy really is.
No, I thought they were very solid. I think they've been searching a few things, looks like, on the mound a little bit, but that offensive lineup of theirs was very old, seven seniors in that lineup. Very, very long. I mean, you look up and, you know, the 7, 8, 9-hole guys are going, good Lord, you know, the guys are, then it turns over. So, I think it's going to be a team that's going to be right there in the middle of things. I'd be surprised if they're not, you know, but it was as advertised. And I just thought it was three really good baseball games. And, you know, if we'd have played a little bit cleaner, you know, who knows, that Friday game, we might've been able to secure that as well. So, But definitely proud of how the guys bounce back and you know what, as frustrated as it was Friday after that loss, tried to be real positive with them because I really loved how they were competing. And I said, don't let the scoreboard take away from how much fun and excitement how you're competing. And I told them I thought, you know, Saturday was going to be an epic game, be ready to roll, and I thought they were.
And you know, the atmosphere at the stadium, the crowds at the stadium, the mezzanine area around right field, just no room to sit. It's really been electric this year, and I'm going to assume the players continue to really feed off of that, Coach.
Oh, goodness, yes. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, I hear them say it sometimes in private, you know, or at a practice. I just say something, you know, like, you know, how much – how awesome is it, man, to play here, you know, with this passionate fan base? And they say it's unbelievable. There's nothing like it in the world. And that's how they feel. And so it matters. And, you know, what this fan base and these folks that come to our games and support these guys, they do so much more than they realize, and that's fact. I'm not just giving lip service there. It's very powerful.
Coach, being the head coach and the pitching coach, that's a lot. You know, that is a lot. How are you doing in handling all that?
Well, I'm doing good, I think. I hope. You know, it's it is. Just trying to balance things.
Yeah.
And it's not a micromanaged type mentality with it at all. I mean, Keller Bradford does a great job helping me with stuff. But I don't know. It's the language I've spoken my whole career. And, you know, and I feel like that's, you know, what I'm decent at, and I need to do it. And but also, you know, trying to, you know, do the other part too with the entire team. And it's been a blast. I couldn't tell you. I mean, I'm having the time of my life. So just – it's a great group to come out every day and work with, great staff, and, you know, great fans, great program. I mean, come on, there's nothing – couldn't be any better than this.
Worst part is putting up with media types.
They don't bother me. They don't bother me. They got a job to do, too.
Coach, I'll tell you somebody else that I observe almost every home game is having a good time, too, is your mother. She was rooting it up Thursday night, let me tell you. She seemed really happy.
Oh yeah, you know she loves being out there, and my wife, daughters, all of them, they get up there on that row. I think they occupy about a full row, and I know they bring a lot of energy for sure.
All right, just a minute left. Give us your quick analysis this point of the year of the Sun Belt and what you're seeing conference wide, Coach.
Well, I think the parity speaks for itself. I think you can just look at, you know, anybody at any time can beat the opponent, you know, so it that doesn't matter. Throw that out the door. Names don't matter. You better just show up and play good baseball, you know, and you better take care of your home. You better play really well there because it's going to be a dogfight going on the road and winning.
All right, Coach, if you hear an obnoxious guy yelling Saturday in Alabama, that'll be me because I'm coming down to watch you. What I don't want to hear is the bags are full of Jags. Can you assure me I won't hear that, Coach?
Yeah, I promise you. Well, I can't assure you that, but I can assure you I don't want to hear that.
Thanks, Coach. Great week. We appreciate your time, sir.
All right. Thank you all.
Christian Ostrander, everybody, the great baseball coach at Southern Miss. And I'm going to tell you something else, too. 51 hits in the last four games. Can we do away with the Fire Creel crap on the internet, Kelly? Can we get rid of that once and for all?
I just think a lot of that is just people trying to get attention, you know. They can't. If they really believe that, then
they're sick.
They don't know baseball very well.
All right, we'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, I want to thank Coach Oz for joining us every Monday. We'll have Travis Creel on the show Wednesday. Tomorrow, Kelly Sander, we're going to have the coach of Southeastern Louisiana.
Yeah, Bobby Barbier. We just talked about him. He, you know, it was an interesting, and we can talk to him about it tomorrow. It was an interesting career move because he went from one school in the Southland Conference, Northwestern State, to another school in the Southland Conference, which was Southeastern Louisiana. And it was an easy move for him, he said, and I'll let him answer it tomorrow, but you know, I happen to know, you know, what his response will be. But boy, he's got the Lions playing really good baseball.
They're gonna be tough.
Yeah.
4th Street Bar and Grill sponsors this segment of the show. Great place to meet your friends for lunch. Always good food. And we also want to thank our good friends at Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. All right, let's go around the horn. Let's start with Luke. Break down your analysis of this past week and where the baseball team stands, Luke.
Should have been a sweep. I mean, let's get honest.
Yeah.
Should have been a sweep. They drilled line in game one. I mean, they hit him up for 8 runs and, you know, less than 3 innings. Yeah, you should have won game two. I was proud of the way they responded. Troy could have easily taken the lead late in game three. McCarty English came in. He and McIntyre shut that down. I thought we hit the ball better. I was a little concerned about the walks from starting pitching. Both Mazza and Oldham had 3 walks each. But I think some of that was the way that, you know, Troy, as Coach Oz said, their veteran older lineup. You know, left on base wasn't awful. 6 in game one. We did leave on 2 in 10 in game two, which you would think if you don't give up those runs late in the game, plus you played some more of those, that's another way that you win. And they only left 4 on yesterday. So yeah. It wasn't I've been thankful with that. As far as the other big issue that has been plaguing Southern Miss was errors. They had 2 in game one, they had 1 in game three, but this is again why you don't sweep. They had 3 errors in game two.
Oh, costly.
Including that costly one. So a lot to say, yeah, they rebounded and were able to continue to hit the ball well, especially against a guy with Lyon that had a 0.6 ERA coming in. But there's reasons why this team has only swept one series so far.
Yeah. Well, one of those errors in the game you mentioned they lost took place at home when they really had a guy thrown out by 2 feet and the catcher doesn't hold on to the ball. Catcher continues to worry me a little bit, Luke.
Yeah, I mean, all 3 guys played over the weekend. It seems as if Odom still maybe have a slight lead on that. We thought Stockman had taken the lead, but, I mean, you look at what they're doing right now. Odom is batting 225, 7 RBIs. Stockman has 4 RBIs. He's batting 176, and then Keys only has 11 at-bats, and he's only got 1 hit, so he's batting .91. Yeah. So, I think there's not only bat reasons, but there's glove reasons why it's still an open position.
Hey, Kelly, to see Nick Monastero seems to be coming out of this slump. That's really good news for the Golden Eagles.
Normally, but this is normally what happens in baseball. You start out slow. The pitchers tend to have the advantage early on, right? But as the temperatures go up, the batting averages, you know, start coming up as well. Monastero's going to be a big piece here because we talked about his versatility and where he can play. If somebody gets injured, you know, you can plug him in just about anywhere. But it takes a special kind of guy to be able to do that, to, you know all the angles of every different position. But they clearly have that faith in him. And I don't think you can really underscore too much what Luke just said about how the Eagles jumped on Luke Lyon, because that guy, he was nearly unhittable.
It was, I almost felt sorry for him.
Yeah, but it just wasn't his night. But look, you know, baseball's baseball, and you're out there, you got a job to do on both ends, and the Eagles did it. But when you look at regardless of what conference you're in, the Eagles have not been beaten in a series yet in conference. Now, we're still early in the
schedule. Georgia Southern, yeah.
Yes, that's right. They did lose. Thank you for correcting me there. But they kind of got that one back with the sweep of Marshall, right?
Yeah.
So anytime you can average 2 out of 3 in conference play, regardless of what conference you're in, you're going to be there when the smoke clears. Right now, it seems like the Cajuns are the team to beat. You know, but you don't know how their schedule has – but the Eagles now have got Troy behind them. And remember, Troy was projected to finish 2nd in the league. So that's a big one.
I never did buy that. But Luke, you and I watched Troy play some ball games out at the tournament last year. They were a solid team last year. They're a very good baseball team.
Yeah, I mean, they're hurting because their masher from last year, he's having Lewis kid. He's having a slow start. But I think – The fact that we were able to, in two games, keep down the run total from an experienced lineup, I think that gives this pitching staff some confidence. Oz did have a little halfway breaking news, guys. I thought Nolan Tucker was going to be out for an extended period of time.
Yeah.
And he kind of hinted that he might be back this week. And Tucker, you know, the transfer from Valpo, the reason why Broadus is in the lineup every day is because neither Seth Smith nor Tucker have been available because of hand injuries. So Tucker coming back, that will kind of create more options for the coaching staff.
I would assume you'd move Monastere back to third and put Tucker back as second, right?
Yeah, and it just depends on how Tucker bats as well. Broadus hadn't been lighting the world on fire, but he got a few hits. But that's the reason. The other option, of course, Eli Collins, who's been a pinch runner mainly. He hasn't really seen that many at bats. I did want to go around the Sun Belt real quick. Southern Miss 2 out of 3 from Troy. Appalachian State takes 2 out of 3 at home against Marshall. Georgia State wins 2 out of 3 at home against James Madison. Coastal Carolina, after losing game one in Monroe, comes back and beats the Warhawks in the next two games, so they win 2 out of 3 on the road. Georgia Southern takes 2 out of 3 from Arkansas State in Jonesboro. And then Old Dominion takes 2 out of 3 from South Alabama and Norfolk. Surprise of the weekend. Number one team in the conference right now, Louisiana swept Texas State in San Marcos. That's a statement series. Here's your up-to-date RPI. 14 teams in the Sun Belt, guys. 10 of the 14 are in the top 100 right now in RPI. Coastal at 18, James Madison at 32, Southern Miss at 49, Louisiana one behind at 50, Georgia Southern at 52, Georgia State at 53, South Alabama, the Eagles play on this weekend, 56, ODU 62, App State 68, Texas State 97. Right now the Sun Belt is fourth conference-wise in RPI behind the SEC, ACC, and Big 12.
Yeah, I was in SEC country all weekend, and had a SEC guy, knows a lot about it, said that he felt like Sun Belt Conference baseball was as good as any in the country, that Sun Belt teams, the better Sun Belt teams, could compete and beat any team in the country.
The two surprises to me so far, not that Louisiana is good, but the fact that they've been this good this early.
But that's, they ain't played us yet.
No, they haven't. And when they do, they're going to have to play us him.
Correct.
As they say.
Him.
They're going to have to play us him. All right. And the second thing is the start that Georgia State has had. And I know the Eagles have got South Al this weekend, but then they have to go, you know, to Atlanta to play. And the Panthers have surprised me. They really have surprised me at the start they've gotten.
Mike Kelly, you're a baseball guy. I want you to put in perspective for our listeners. What a positive it is to have a Dalton McIntyre, a kid, your leadoff hitter with the highest batting average on the team, and a kid with a great defensive glove, and then a kid that when he gets on base, it's just nothing but pressure on the other team. He's almost a prototypical leadoff baseball player.
And when you look at this guy, you're
going... He was tiny when he was here, Kelly.
Right. No, I mean, and he still is compared to the rest of the guys. That's part of the beauty of that story, too, is that... You know, the little engine that could, you know.
Wow.
Tough potatoes are hard to peel, or small potatoes are hard to peel, you know. And he's been, and I'm sure he's had to deal with that his whole life.
Yeah.
So, but to get the opportunity is one thing, but then to take advantage of the opportunity is quite another.
Well, I'm sure you remember he was out here. Tuna was one of the players out here, and hell, he looked like Tuna's little brother.
I thought he was like a manager or so, you know, like.
Yeah, I remember he left, and I was thinking to myself, he'll never see the field. That's how much I know, right?
You'll have to start inserting an over-under on infield hits for McIntyre every series.
He's amazing. He's good, isn't he, Luke?
Yeah, he knows what he's there for, and he's there to make contact and get on base.
Yeah.
He's there to put the ball in places. He loves working the ball to the opposite field. If he hits the ball between the third baseman and the shortstop, unless it's just smoked, he's probably going to get on base.
Yeah,
I mean, that's just the fact of it. I mean, I would like to know, and this is something we can ask Jack later, how many infield singles that he has, just because it's pretty remarkable to watch.
Biggest difference I see in this team and the last couple of teams is team speed. This team has some team speed, and Oz has put it to use.
And it's the toughest thing to coach. You know, a lot of parents in the off season, you know, we talk about D1, and they can help you with this. Forget about the hitting. Forget about the fielding. You know, rest the arm. Work on your child's speed and agility, because it doesn't matter what else you can do. If you can't run fast, if you can't move, you're not playing.
18-10 Southeastern Louisiana up next. And go down the schedule, pick out an easy team, and call me and tell me who it is, because I just don't see it. Every game is tough. We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Final segment on this Monday, as always, brought to you by DBAT in Hattiesburg. DBATHattiesburg.com, proud sponsor of the Eagle Hour. You can catch the Super Talk Eagle Hour in podcast form or on demand. If you missed Christian Ostrander's interview, first two segments of today's show, you can go back and listen on demand at supertalk.fm. Or in podcast form, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audible, or you can ask Alexa to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour for you. Over the weekend, beach volleyball. We had a good weekend. Beach volleyball goes undefeated in the Beachburg Invitational, defeating Mobile, Nichols, Spring Hill, Loyola, Spring Hill again, and Nichols again. So congratulations on a perfect weekend. They improved to 12-14 overall, and we'll head over to Kelly's favorite place, the ATL, to take on LSU, Stetson, Georgia State, this coming weekend. Ladies golf over in Monroe for the ULM Invitational. Southern Miss right now, third overall. Two Golden Eagles, Momoko Ando and Rajani Nave in the top 30. Rajani actually right now tied for first overall. The Lady Eagles five shots back in that tournament. Softball over the weekend loses two or three games to Troy. They rebounded Saturday in Troy, won 10-1. Of all people, guys, you'll never believe who homered not once but twice in that 10-1 victory
on
Saturday.
Could it be Hannah Borden?
Twice.
Wow.
Two bombs.
So she just keeps adding to her own record now, right?
Yep. Lady Eagles trailed in the second inning and then scored 10 straight runs and won 10-1. Coach pulls troops on the year, 5-18, 4-5 in the conference. They'll look back to get even in the conference this weekend out in Conway against Coastal. They will take on Nichols this Wednesday at home at 6 p.m. Last news and notes of the day, track and field over the weekend held the Golden Eagle Invitational. Females did really good. Lady Eagles had 9 first-place showings, men one less at 8. Trinity Flagler continues to do well. First in the 4x100 relay, first in the 400 meters, and then also in the 1500 meters, the Lady Eagles take first, second, and third place. Emmy Bates finishes first. On the men's side, men win the 4x100 relay, and then Austin Bourne wins the 1500 meter. So good weekend for track and field.
Yeah, good. All right, guys, I want to ask you this. Big basketball game tonight. LSU and Iowa in the women's final Elite Eight. I think it's fair to say Angel Reese has been very controversial over the past year. Caitlin Clark beginning to get that way to a point that her dad calls her out in a recent game. Is this the result of college athletes being millionaires now and uncoachable?
Boy, it's got to be part of it. But, you know, I know the way this is going to sound, but back in the day, you know, obviously there were women's sports, but they just didn't seem as cutthroat as they are now.
Yeah. This is going to be nasty.
And of course, you got two of the wealthiest female
no
athletes
question. no question,
to ever playing against each other tonight.
So how about it, Luke? Is this one of the repercussions of 19-year-old college athletes now being multimillionaires?
I mean, I think both of those players would play with an edge anyway, regardless of whether or not they made that much money. I read a really interesting article on Caitlin Clark on ESPN, and I think the hardest person that she's on after reading that is herself. So, it probably adds to it a little bit as far as I can do this. Either way, I think that they would probably play pretty passionately anyway. I do want to see if Iowa wins tonight, if there's any, you can't see me hand motions by Iowa back at Angel Reese. But I'll tell you what, though. It might be the most watched college basketball game this season.
I think it will be.
And on the men and women's side. Yeah. And I think that's pretty extraordinary. And I think it shows you, that people want to watch good basketball. And when there's two really good players on either side, of course, both of those are huge basketball fan bases. Right. I think people want to watch it.
Did you hear Patrick McGee last week say it is the biggest story in the state of Louisiana?
That put it into basketball. Yeah, that put it into perspective
with
for
LSU
me.
LSU playing baseball right now.
That really put it into perspective for me.
The defending national champion LSU Tigers too.
Yeah, great point.
I'm talking about for baseball.
No,
they are
great
for,
point. Great point. And the women's basketball team is drawing more interest in publicity than the defending national champion baseball team. Crazy.
Well, I think women's, and we can criticize the NIL and all that sort of thing, but I think with Reese and Caitlin Clark being out there, you can't argue the fact that women's basketball now has really come into sharp focus.
No question.
And is in the spotlight, and I think that's a good thing.
No question. All right, great show tomorrow. We hope everybody had a great Easter weekend. And Kelly and Luke, it is Easter.
It is.
That's what it is. It was Easter.
Resurrection Sunday.
That's exactly right. And we should.
We made it. We like to highlight the fact that what was visible was the empty tomb.
It's nothing but Easter. That's all it was. We'll be back tomorrow, 1 o'clock. Hope you'll join us. Southern Miss.
To the top.
Slipping into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.